Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful morning out there. Hopefully you're enjoying it. It's Thursday. Thursday morning here in Fairhaven. So, the last hour, kind of all over the place, but I was talking about the meeting down the south end at the sewage treatment plant. Appreciate Ian Abreu calling in, talking about that. I realize why he would want to, you know, be a little defensive about the scheduling and stuff like that. I think people in New Bedford have to know just how many meetings these city councilors have. They had three committee meetings. At the same time, the city was having the meeting on the sewage stream. But that happens quite a bit, that city council, if they're doing the job right, they'll come in. You see it a lot. They'll be at some other meeting somewhere else in the city, and then they make it to a meeting and they're a little bit late. And I understand, because I'm a frequent observer over the years of the city council. So you realize some nights they've got to be in three places at once, really, to do the job right. Of course, there are the ones on the city council that just, they're not anywhere some nights of the week. They're just home. They're not doing anything. And I think we know who those people are. Some of them run unopposed yet anyway. Doesn't really matter. Looking forward to this meeting of the joint, it'll be a joint meeting, convention, if you will, of the city council and the school committee to select the individual to fill the remaining term of school committee member Bruce Oliveira. Right? Bruce Oliveira passed away, I would say unexpectedly, from what I understand from family members. He had beat cancer twice. Bruce had beat cancer twice. And I think it's, we talked about it yesterday with the mayor, fitting dedication to select the new school affiliated health center to be dedicated and named in the honor of Bruce Oliveira. I think that's appropriate. Appropriate. Bruce, again, he was a friend. It's kind of funny. I get a lot of information here to the radio station, and most of it I bring directly to you guys. But there was times, to be honest, particularly if it involves kids, okay? If it involves kids, and I thought it was better handled on a low-key level rather than me coming on and talking about it and getting people appropriately worked up and involved. Sometimes it was just a text message to Bruce Oliveira. I didn't need to go to the air with it, because by texting Bruce, I knew he would see it the way I did, as an important matter, because I didn't really waste his time. I don't think I did. I hope I didn't, considering how little he had left and we didn't even realize, and how little I have left, let's be honest. So I try not to waste time. But I would text Bruce something. It wasn't often. And I knew it would get taken care of. Because it would always involve a kid. Didn't happen often, but something going on at the school department that I thought needed him to understand, to know about it. Because if he knew, it wouldn't have been happening. And he would deal with it in the appropriate way. And it would get done. Bruce is the kind of guy that got things done. So with that in mind, yesterday the mayor announced here on the program that he's going to name the health center at the school after Bruce. And I think that's appropriate. But now, the political matter of how do you select somebody to fulfill the rest of the term that Bruce was elected to on the school committee. as the mayor laid out, Bruce was a very unique guy in his experiences. Finance guy, understood finance, but also understood the construction, public construction. It's not like putting a shed in your backyard, and you know that. It's not even like redoing your bathroom if you were going to. I mean, it's all very complex. And Bruce understood that. So he was a really valuable guy to the school committee. Is there a person out there with construction expertise in the public realm, finance background, a real love of community, and an appreciation for children? Bruce was also a baseball coach. Really, I mean, just a hell of a guy. So that is, if possible, who they're looking for to put into that school committee. And I would suggest that being on the school committee is a very prestigious honor. In fact, I was talking with former Mayor Lang about it over last weekend. Just throwing around a few names. And talking about how prestigious it was to be on the school committee in years past. Dr. Paul Walsh was there for years. For years, I think 50 years maybe. Jack Nobrega. Dr. John Fletcher. Right? Dr. Fletcher was on there for a number of years. Tommy Clark. War hero. Actually, he was on the school committee before he was a war hero. Tommy Clark. And now he lives in Dartmouth. And a lot of other really good people were on that school committee. Rosemary Tanney was on there. So hopefully some really qualified people will put their names forward. Because it's the best way to get on the school committee. You don't have to go out and run for election. Just get selected. You got to get, I think it's 9 votes. And you could serve with the likes of John Mitchell. Chris Carter's on there. And you've got some other people on that school committee as well. You'll have new people coming in. Rick Porter, to me, is a really interesting guy. Professional educator, really nice man. I think it would be in anybody's benefit to be on that school committee, to serve, as I said, with Rick Porter and Chris Carter and John Mitchell. So get your name in there if you're interested. Maybe talk to one of the city councilors or talk to one of the school committee people. Maybe talk to a school committee person to find out what the commitment's like, what it really is all about. I don't think we want some political person who's only political, right? Who has no other expertise or interest than politics. I don't think you want that person. I think you want somebody with a, as the mayor was talking about, that Blake Bruce, interest in children, interest in education, but also has real world experience, finance, public instruction. I hope those types of people, and I know I've got many in my audience who fit at least one or two of those characteristics, would recognize what an opportunity this is, what a tremendous opportunity it is to serve your community. All right, 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you. Listen, no matter who they put there, I don't think they'll ever replace Bruce Oliver.
Yes.
And all I mean by that is, no matter who you put there, they got to play catch up,
right,
and learn the role. You know, Bruce was just a phenomenal guy. I'm glad I knew him well. I'm glad I had the opportunity in my life to get to know him. and unbelievable. A couple other guys on that school committee that were there long-term, Carlos Pacheco.
Sure.
Larry Finity.
Yes, Larry, yep.
And I think, I don't know how many terms she served, was my homeroom teacher at Namandan, so that goes back a long time ago, Irene Gutierrez.
All right.
So, you know, the school committee's always had a good amount of individuals who were interested in the youth of New Bedford.
Yes.
And if you're not interested in the youth, that's not a position that you should be running for or trying to get put on that board due to Bruce's passing.
Yeah.
It's for people like Mr. Porter, Dr. Fletcher, guys like that who put in time.
Hey, what about our mutual friend, Ross Grace Jr., who really cares about kids? He's just finishing up, having been on there for a couple terms. He'll be actually in here next week, Ross Grace Jr. I thought he was a fantastic addition to the school committee.
I'm sad that he is leaving, but I know that life and things change, and he needs to step back. The whole Grace family, his brother Romain, student advisor up at UMass Dartmouth, his mother's been involved in PACE and was instrumental at the Career Center when I worked there for years. Her and I started together working in the youth department with Ross and Romain, you know. So that family sometimes gets a bad rep because of the name. But let me tell you something. They've delivered to this city like, you know, it's amazing. People don't realize what they have done for the city, the programs they've been involved with. You know, you can go on and on, you know, like we can with Bruce and Jack Nobrega and Dr. Walsh and all those people. You know, people don't understand. You know, we come on here sometimes and we might bash a politician or I don't like this guy or that. But you know something? They're giving, especially school committee where they don't get paid.
Right.
They're giving away their personal time, taking it away from their family to help better the city and help better the youth of the city of New Bedford. And even the city councilors, you know, they put up with a lot of crap.
Yeah, they do.
For the amount of hours and what they get paid. Yeah, you know, we talk, oh, $50,000 for 2 years. Sometimes they're in these meetings 5 nights a week for hours, and they're getting calls at 1 o'clock in the morning. My cell is flooded. People don't understand. I had the opportunity to work with and support George Rogers, and I thought he was a good counselor. And obviously, the people of New Bedford did, because they elected him to every elected position that you could: House Rep, State Senator, Mayor, Counselor at Large. But he donated almost his whole life to the city of New Bedford. Do I agree with everything he did? Was he his biggest, worst enemy? Absolutely. But the guy gave a lot of time for New Bedford. And I'll end with this, Chris. You know, Christmas is coming. I think we, as general public, we need to open up our eyes and realize that these politicians, we might not like them, and I don't agree with all of them, and I don't like all of them, but you know something? They're here for us, just like cops and firemen are. And people just say that they don't get enough credit. And so for today, I'm going to say thank you to all the politicians in New Bedford. Thanks to the police and the firemen of New Bedford, because without them, the city would be in big, big trouble. Thanks, Chris, for your time. I always appreciate it. Stay well, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Stay well as well. Yeah, I mean, you know, we give them hell sometimes, but we do appreciate them. If for nothing more than they give me content and give us something to have fun with, right? Politicians. Get that windshield. If you get a cracked windshield, get it fixed today. It's not that hard. Really isn't. And it's really not that expensive either. In fact, it should cost you nothing whatsoever if you call Citywide Glass. Citywide Glass, they're located in New Bedford, Dartmouth, Fall River. So if you're in New Bedford, call them in Dartmouth, call them in Fall River, Citywide Glass. They're also online, no matter where you are, citywideglass.net. They will send their mobile tech team right up to your home or your work parking lot and fix that windshield. They'll bill your insurance company, so it won't cost you a penny out of your pocket. Nothing out of your pocket when you call Citywide Glass to get them to fix your windshield. You got any other cracked glass on your car? Mirrors, side mirrors, any of that, Citywide Glass. Book an appointment at citywideglass.net or by the phone, call them in Dartmouth or Fall River, Citywide Glass. They'll bill your insurance company. Stick around, we'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Now I got quarters in my loafers, trying to fight inflation when it only used to take a cent. Sometimes I wish I was back in my crash pad days before I knew what cash flow meant. Seems everybody's
Welcome back to the program. Thanks, Jimmy Buffett. Speaking of inflation, this holiday season, Shooting Supply has the deals you need. You can save a lot. In fact, $90 on Smith & Wesson Shield EZ, now only $399. The new Sig Sauer P365X Macro is in stock. Come see the latest in America's most popular handgun line. They've got it in stock at Shooting Supply. On a budget, who's not on a budget? Well, the Taurus G3C has a lifetime warranty. That gun is only $219 after the rebate. 500 rounds of Winchester, service grade 9mm, only $119. That's an inflation beater for you. Gift cards available for those hard-to-buy sportsmen in your life. Find all the best holiday deals at Shooting Supply, 848 State Road in Westport, or shootingsupply.com. We're now joined by Paul Craney. Paul Craney is the executive director of the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. I was talking about them in the first hour. They are the guardians of Proposition 2.5. And they're the big exposers of a lot of the shenanigans going up on Beacon Hill by our governor and the supermajority Democrats that we have. Although there are a couple of Democrats that are tolerable, that aren't radicals. So here is Paul Craney. Good morning, Paul. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thank you for having me on.
So what has been happening up there at the Mass Fiscal Alliance? What have you been uncovering?
It's a very target-rich environment in Massachusetts. This morning, I was in Salem, New Hampshire, doing a press conference with several New Hampshire lawmakers. And the reason for that is because there are several businesses that are publicly coming out. And there was one last week that made news from Massachusetts, and they're relocating to Salem, New Hampshire. The company that announced last week, they're bringing with them 250 jobs. Another company earlier this year was bringing 500 jobs, and they're going to Salem, New Hampshire. And the reason why I did this press conference in New Hampshire is because we need to send a message to the Beacon Hill legislature and the governor that they need to wake up.
Right.
They can't continue doing what they're doing. I'm trying to send a clear message that it's not working. In this case, New Hampshire won these businesses relocating with the jobs that go along with them. But most of the time, New Hampshire is trying to compete with states like Texas, Florida, North Carolina, Tennessee. Massachusetts is not competing with states like New Hampshire. So New Hampshire won, but in every case, Massachusetts loses. And right now, Massachusetts is continuing down this path of higher taxes, more regulations, climate mandates, high cost of energy, high cost of housing. In fact, Chris, in the month of September, it was announced that Massachusetts had its worst jobs numbers since the pandemic. So you have these two things kind of hitting at once, the really bad job numbers and these tech companies, these businesses that are growing, moving to New Hampshire. So we're trying to send a message. I'm on my way now to the Massachusetts State House with these New Hampshire lawmakers. We're going to do a press conference in the State House of Massachusetts. And we're just trying to make these people wake up. They can't continue down this path. It's not working. They need to simply just copy what New Hampshire is doing. Right. No taxes, low taxes, bring growth, bring prosperity. Let taxpayers keep more of their money. This morning, I woke up to some news about how the Massachusetts Municipal Association is now endorsing a plan to try to weaken Proposition 2.5. That is the taxpayer-funded, so that's a taxpayer protection law.
Yes.
That allows property taxes to be capped at 2.5%. It's actually the best property tax law in the nation.
Yes.
It's a model for other states to follow. And in Massachusetts, it's actually kept our property taxes at a reasonable rate of growth. We started with very high property taxes when this law was passed in the year 1980. And if we didn't have this law, it would be much more unaffordable. But we wake up this morning to the Massachusetts Municipal Association endorsing a plan that they want to weaken it. It's the complete opposite direction. It's the same. These types of ideas are the same reason why we're losing businesses to New Hampshire. And it's the reason why I was up in Salem, New Hampshire, and I'm going to the state house is we can't continue down this path of higher taxes. We need to just imitate what other states are doing so well, the states with the highest growth rates.
We're speaking with Paul Craney from the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance. You can join him. Just look it up. It's massfiscal.org. The climate mandates put on by the legislature, vetoed by Governor Baker, how much of an impact are those having, Paul, on people in business and in residence trying to afford to have their pay their utility bills?
I mean, just look at your utility bill, and if you're wondering why it's increased so much, and the reason is because of these policies, these mandates that are being added to utility bills. What the state house has figured out is that they could pass these expenses to the ratepayers simply by tucking these policies in your utility bills. But a couple weeks ago, we put out a white paper through the Fiscal Alliance Foundation because we wanted to respond to Governor Healey. She came out and said she wants to build out more solar in Massachusetts. And when we heard that, we said, well, solar is very expensive. It's one of the most expensive forms of energy production. And what our paper found was that over the last 10 years, the cost of solar has gone up 13.1% every year in the utility bill. So all these mandates that are producing solar every year, that's what's driving a huge increase in electric bills. At that same period, that 10-year period, the cost of producing electricity by the electricity companies and delivering it to households, that's only gone up 3.6%. So quite a difference, 13.1 every year versus 3.6.
We're speaking with Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal. And now the governor has resorted to literally lying. You guys have the video up. She lied to Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald about not eliminating the gas pipelines. I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous that she's now resorting to lying, the governor.
I know. She spent 8 years as attorney general, 3 years as governor, publicly touting how she stopped natural gas expansion and infrastructure in Massachusetts. And all of a sudden, when ratepayers, people who pay their bills, start noticing and connecting the dots, now she just comes out there and says she never did it. And it's can leave you speechless, but, you know, doing this long enough, you know that politicians are never deterred by embarrassment or hypocrisy.
That's all true. We're speaking with Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal Alliance, the guardians of Proposition 2.5.
Thank you, Chris.
The So how can people get more involved with Mass Fiscal Alliance?
If you check out our website, massfiscal.org, M-A-S-S-Fiscal.org, please sign up for emails. Please send an email to your lawmaker through our website. Check us out on social media, on Twitter, which is X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Mass Fiscal. You can find us and follow us on social media.
Paul, is there any hope that, I know that there was a bill put forward by a representative, a Democrat type, to maybe rein in some of these green climate mandates. Any hope that that's going to actually happen?
Oh, I'm hoping. I think the conversation is turning our way.
Okay. Do we need the different people in the legislature, though, to make that decision?
You know, I like to think with enough pressure, it doesn't matter who's in the legislature, they're going to do the right thing.
Okay.
You know, like Governor Healey coming out now, kind of backtracking on natural gas, stopping it. Those are just words. Words are cheap. We want to see actions. But it's my hope that no matter who's in the legislature, who's in the governor's office, that they're going to put policies forward that put the taxpayers as the priority. Sometimes you have to change people out of office for sure.
Yes.
But sometimes you need enough political pressure on these people that they feel compelled to listen to their taxpayers. And that's what we're trying to do.
Paul, do you guys take a position in the governor's race? I would assume you don't. But you've met with all three, I would assume, of the governor's candidates, right, on the Republican side?
Yeah, I personally know all three. You know, I think it's a long time from now to the primary, but
yes.
I just very much like the fact that Massachusetts is going to have options.
Yes.
It's going to make all these candidates, including Maura Healey, it's going to make them all much better to listen to the interests of the taxpayers. You know, nothing worse than incumbent politicians feeling like they don't have to be accountable to their taxpayers. But right. When you have competition, that always brings them back. So that's good.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And it is hopefully we'll get a good debate between these three candidates. So we'll ultimately settle on the most electable person of the group.
Yeah, I'm sure that will happen next year.
Paul, I really appreciate you joining me. Again, give people how they can get more information about your organization.
Yeah, please check out massfiscal.org, M-A-S-S-Fiscal.org. We have a website. You can sign up for email updates, but you can also contact the governor and your lawmakers through our website, through our call to action. You spend a minute there, and you'll send an email to these people with a message talking about holding them accountable to lower taxes and lower energy costs. And then check us out on social media. Any platform you are on for social media, you can find Mass Fiscal on it. And please check out our videos.
Yeah, they do. They make great videos, guys. You know, I play them from time to time. Black, I got one coming up. Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, great. That was Paul Crane again, Mass Fiscal. They inherited the mantle to defend Proposition 2.5 from Barbara Anderson and Chip Faulkner and Chip Ford over at Citizens for Limited Taxation and Government. Really important organization. No matter where you come down on the spectrum, most people want to own a home. And the only way you can really afford to own a home is if the taxes are kept reasonable. And they are the guardians of Proposition 2.5. All right, take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
Oh. South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Travis McGee's still in Cedar Key. That's what old John McDonald said. My rendezvous so long overdue. All of the things I've sung and I've read, they still apply to me. They all make sense.
Welcome back to the program. Travis McGee, that's the detective in the John McDonald books. They're really good books. If you like quick mysteries, I recommend anything by John McDonald. All right, let's go back to the phones. We got people here on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Chris.
Hello.
I wanted to comment on school committees.
Okay.
you were telling people that it's really not political, but I have to say that school committees are very political. You know, far more political than you realize. Just look at all the educators associations like Weingarten, how politically charged they are. And then you have other groups like NEA, the National Education Association, very politically charged, where they're promoting things like the 1619 Project. So really, if people have children in school, or if they have grandchildren, it's really not the grandparents' role to direct what the children are learning. It's more the parents. But sadly, the parents today just don't have the time or the interest or the knowledge to realize what's going on in their school system. But our children in schools are being brainwashed. And now in this state, anyone can go on to the look at the Plymouth last school committee meeting in the town of Plymouth.
Okay.
And it was unbelievable because parents are fighting back against this new curriculum that they want to pass called the Comprehensive Health and Physical Education. And it's for pre-kindergarten to age 12. And what they're trying to do, as usual, they're getting into all this gender insanity. And they want to start with five-year-old children discussing, you know, their genders and accepting families, you know, with two gay parents. And it's all social and emotional, SEL, social emotional learning, all this feelings. And, you know, it's just absolute insanity. Instead of teaching the kids what they should be teaching them, you know, how to read, how to write, how to write cursive, how to do mathematics, how to address a letter, how to use their critical thinking. No, they want to brainwash them into all this inclusive, you know, garbage and equity, inclusive, diverse perspectives. And so everyone can just go right online to the Department of to DESE and look at this information and read it for themselves. You know, so everyone should be aware, but, you know, people really need to volunteer to become school committee members if you're a conservative, because there are a lot of liberals on the school committees.
Yes.
And they're all for all this insanity that they're teaching your children and your grandchildren, and parents need to be aware in the public school system. That's why there are so many people who have pulled their kids out of the public school system and are homeschooling them. Or sadly, there's no, you know, there aren't a lot of Catholic schools around here anymore like they used to be.
Right.
But they even get a better education in a private school, Catholic school, than they're getting in the public school system.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Appreciate the input to the program. 508-996-0 if I can get on the program. We're now joined by Senator Mark Montigny. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I just happened to be driving by, and I heard you causing trouble, so I wanted to join you.
And we got great free coffee here, Mark, right? Yeah.
I went to a Catholic school.
You did. Look what
Holy Family.
Look what happened.
And it merged with Holy Name. And I think at one point at the seventh grade level, Sister Nathan and my mom came to an agreement that I might be better off elsewhere.
In the public schools.
In the eighth grade at Keith.
Eighth grade at Keith. Yeah. And then
it was called Mischief Daily.
Mark, speaking of mischief, you're the chairman of the post-audit committee. You have subpoena power. You have Tim Dunning the other day talking about what's happening up there in the State House, at the convention center. What's going on?
You know, it's kind of funny. It's if I were to look back, I'd say they appointed a kid from New Bedford, chairman of Ways and Means first, right, to manage billions of dollars. And boy, did I have a lot of fun. I mean it. You know, tongue in cheek, because it was very difficult, as you know, but it gave me a chance to see just how much waste there is in government. It gave me a chance to change some of that. Of course, you're fighting. It's like, you know, pushing that rock up a hill, a mountain.
Sisyphus.
Yeah, that good old Sisyphus. But it also gave me a chance to steer tremendous resources here and change the dynamic of years of us being left behind. But mostly I mean, I was a fiscal conservative in my personal life. My whole life I've lived frugally. So I get, like, what it means to balance a budget. And then you see how government operates and you think, like, how can this be? Because somebody's paying for it, and that's the problem.
Right.
It's not – it's sort of that old saying of if it's not your money, you're not watching it carefully enough. And, and it's the situation now where I'm using post-audit, which I guess the second point I was trying to make is – It's funny how they appointed somebody who loves to cause trouble as the chair of post audit. What I mean by cause trouble is that I see so much wrong with the system because of the coziness, because of all the special interests and the lobbyists and the influence in Washington and Boston. It doesn't matter what party's in charge, by the way. I can equally take on that fight and tell you that one special interest who's the enemy of one side, you turn that coin over and there's some other lobbyist or special interest. Energy's a good example. So I've been using it to just try to get the taxpayers a better deal. And sometimes in that, it
gets ugly.
You know, yesterday I was meeting with the Secretary of Transportation in Boston to say, listen, I'm not done with the Service Plaza scandal. I'd prefer to have a friendly...
Give us a highlight, overview of that.
Yeah, so $500 million difference in the two bids, and people want to know why.
This is the turnpike on Mass Pike.
Yeah, the Service Plaza is on the Pike. The reason I'm doing the Cliff Notes is I would happen to be driving by, and I know we have limited time. Plus, you were doing some other stuff as I was sitting in the parking lot. But I mean, it was a more than a $500 million delta, and there was explanations that didn't make any sense. So we went after them, and the whole thing collapsed, and we're going to see a rebid. Now the convention center is another issue. But what I would like to say today, two things. One, I want to end on a good note with a Christmas gift and wish and message and request from your listeners. But first, I want to say this. The issue that needs to be looked at this year, your last caller just talked about with you, and that's energy. I'm not going to go into too much today because you may not even realize, because I don't think I've announced it publicly. We have been involved in a post-audit investigation of the DPU and the utility industry. Right. And, you know, there's no smoking gun. It's all out there publicly what the utility industry has always done. Mm-hmm. And sometimes with the collusion of the corner office and the legislature over the decades.
Right.
I was there as an early proponent, a very aggressive proponent of deregulation, and was one of only four to vote against it, to the chagrin of the leaders in the Senate, the House, and the governor at the time. And the reason I voted against it is because I was struck how they manipulated and corrupted even deregulation to capture all the stranded assets of the industry and every mistake they ever made. Right. Remember, there's a perverse incentive. The more they spend, the more they get paid.
Right.
And even under deregulation, which they sell to everybody as competition, it is not. It's still a DPU-regulated cost-plus system in the actual sense of passing it on to the ratepayer. So there's an incentive for them to spend more money than they should on these gas infrastructure projects, on Mass Save, on all of these programs. We have to look at every single one. And that includes some things that philosophically I may believe in the long term and may have even voted for. Right. I want to relook at everything. If I made a mistake voting for something, I want to talk about it. I want to revise it. But some of the stuff has nothing to do with policy or mistakes. It's hiding in plain sight, and the DPU is authorizing way too much spending on capital projects. It's baked into the delivery charge, and way too much at Mass Save baked into delivery charge. So we're going to come out with more detail in the future, but I want you to know this, that this affordability problem is no hoax, and both parties better get it that people can't afford these bills.
We're speaking with Senator Mark Montagne, the current chairman of Post Auto, and take a break, and then we'll be right back. He's going to have some, I think, good news for people out there. I think that was pretty good news, though, too, as well, what you just heard. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Situation, but trying to leave with some good news, like we did last year, but I want to even try to go beyond that. I know that people are struggling in this community, in the towns and the city I represent. And what I want to offer to your listeners and to their families and to anybody they hear about in the next couple of weeks, any child out there who's in a family struggling, they can call this radio station and then we'll hook them up with our partners. But we will hear what I'm saying, because I think it's about as firm as you can say it.
Right.
We will make sure